Bibles, if you would, to Mark chapter number 8. Mark chapter number 8. As a pastor, you have occasion, and again, I had occasion this last week with Brother Porter. I've had occasion several different times in different people's lives to sit, and as they go into a very serious surgery, many times people are very apprehensive about going into surgery. And I told Brother Porter, we went up there, Chris and I did, and they were going to take him in. I said they were going to take him in about 6, and we got up there, and he told me he just had a bad feeling about it. I said, Brother Porter, I said, you need to understand something. I said, we say we trust God all through our life. We come to church and we sing about it and we read about it and we say we trust Him. But I said there's times and issues and situations that comes in our life when we just have to totally trust Him. And we have to realize that we've come to a point where we just need to lay our lives in His hands and say, God, it's up to you. Trust Him so far, we can trust Him from this point on. And sometimes we find it hard. I've had some people say, well, they've been in church all their life. Today I want to read a story in the Bible with the disciples. You know, the disciples helps us look at ourselves sometimes. Sometimes you would think the disciples was the group, and they followed Jesus around. And I'm sure that they had a little bit of ego about themselves when they followed Jesus. I know Peter did, for sure. Even sometimes that ego would come out against Jesus. When Jesus would say something to him, he would rebuke Jesus. Or he would try to correct Jesus. And then Jesus would rebuke Peter. And the reason why is, if you want to use the word cocky or if you want to use the phrase that they just got a little bit too much pride. Now, picture this, if you would. Now, they had been with Jesus for a while. They've gone around. He's healed the sick. As a matter of fact, when you read back in the gospel here, the Bible said when he would go to some places, there would be thousands of people come. And the Bible says he healed all they're sick. Not just a sick man here. I mean, some days he would heal hundreds and thousands of sick people. He would cast out demons. He would raise the dead. He would cause the blind to see, the deaf to hear, the lame to walk. Now picture this, and that you were in the entourage that walked around with him. You began to walk around, have a little pride. And sometimes, as a matter of fact, they had so much pride, sometimes people would come to them, poor people or Gentile women or children, and they'd try to push them aside and try to get rid of them. They had no time, no use for them. Sometimes I could see ourselves in the disciples. That's why several times when Jesus marveled at people's faith, it wasn't the disciples that he was marveling at. Several times at his own disciples, he said this, "Oh ye, a little faith." And they had their own problems with trusting him. But where he marveled was when there would be a Gentile man or woman, maybe a Roman centurion or maybe a widow woman over here that was a Gentile, and they would say something and do something, and he would marvel at their faith. But these were Jews. Here the Messiah had came, and he was in their midst. That's why when he refers to this generation, he is talking to the generation that was present when he came as the Messiah. So let's begin reading, if you would. Now remember, remember, he just did another miracle. He'd already fed at one time. He'd fed a multitude of 5,000 men and then women and children on top of that with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. They'd seen that. Now he'd come to a point where he had just got through a second time sitting 4,000 down and taking 7 loaves and some fishes and feeding them and having 7 baskets full left. Now, other time, they had 12 basketfuls left after he fed them with that small amount. Now, they had just done that. If you look in verse number 9, chapter 8, and they had eaten, were about 4,000, and he sent them away. And straightway he entered into a ship with his disciples and came into the parts of Dalmanutha. Now, Dalmanutha is the only place it's mentioned in the Bible is right here. It's one of the outer parts of Israel, but nobody can identify exactly where it was. But let's begin reading in verse 11. And the Pharisees came forth and began to question with him, seeking of him a sign from heaven, tempting him. We'll come back to that. And he sighed deeply in his spirit and saith, why doth this generation seek after a sign? Now again, this generation is referring to the generation that was present when he was there performing the signs of the Messiah. Now keep your finger there a moment. Turn back, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah chapter 61. Now, Isaiah was writing about how you could identify the Messiah when it would come. And the Bible says in chapter 61, in verse number 1 of Isaiah, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach the good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, that's to the blind and crippled and all those, open the prisons of them that are bound, that's those that had demons and devils he was cast out, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Now turn back, if you would, to Mark chapter 8. So this generation was told that the Messiah would come and be able to do all these miracles. And guess what? He was performing those miracles right in their presence. The disciples was with him and saw him do all these things. The Pharisees saw him do all these things, Sadducees, and all the different ones, and scribes, and all the different ones that should have known the Word of God and been looking for Jesus and the Messiah, yet right before their own eyes, they couldn't see he was there. Look on, if you would. Verse 12. And he sighed deeply in his spirit and saith, why doth this generation seek after a sign? Verily I say unto you, there shall no sign be given to this generation. Now, in Matthew chapter 12, verses 38 through 40, he went on, he said this. He said there would be one sign that he would give them. And that would be, and that was after he talked about the unpardonable sin and all that committed by the Pharisees. And he said the sign would be the sign of Jonah. As Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. But you know what? Even when he performed that sign and he resurrected after being in the heart of the earth, 3 days and 3 nights, and he walked among people after he died upon the cross of Calvary, still they sought to lie about him and deny him and try to find every way in the world. As a matter of fact, they even paid the guards to lie about what happened. Even though he was alive, walking again for 40 days upon the earth after his resurrection. And the Bible says that he was seen by not only the apostles, but he was seen by over 500 brethren when he walked upon the earth. Look back, if you would, in verse 13. And he left them, and entering into the ship again, departed to the other side. So you got the Pharisees that's come, and they began to tempt him. Now, I'm going to stop right there a minute. I'm going to pick it back up in just a minute. And so the Pharisees came. They want to see a sign. And by the way, people's always seeking signs. But let me tell you something about signs. I've had people tell me over and over, if God will give me a sign, I'll get saved. well, you're going to die and go to hell. The sign that you have was given by Jesus when he went to the heart of the earth and he resurrected after he hung upon the cross of Calvary. That's what's going to save your soul. It's not seeing a thunderbolt. It's not seeing a cross in the sky. It's not seeing clouds that form something that you want to make a picture. It's not dreaming some dream and saying, I had a dream. That is not what's going to save you. With signs, signs always desire to see more signs. It's not enough just to see a sign. They want to see more signs because signs will never satisfy. That's why you have so many of these TV evangelists like Benny Hinn and a bunch of them running around. They fill these arenas up because people desire to see a sign. Well, now the Pharisees came to him. They want to see a sign from heaven. It wasn't enough that he raised the dead, healed the sick, caused the blind to do, done everything that the Messiah was supposed to do. Here he was doing it right in their midst, and that wasn't enough for them. They wanted him to do something like Elijah, call fire down from heaven, call it not to rain for 3 days and 3 nights, do something like Joshua, cause the sun to stand still. But you know what? That would not have been enough either. But they wanted more signs. Give us a sign. We want a sign. I'm afraid a lot of people is looking for signs. And so here, the Bible says that they came tempting him, or they came, the Bible says, and began to question. That means that they begin to argue with him. They begin to seek. You know, a lot of people said, well, if I could see God. Now picture this a minute. I wrote a couple of numbers down. Picture this a minute. Light moves at 186,000 miles per second. This earth goes at a rate of, I think, 67,000 miles per hour around the sun constantly. Did you know that you're moving at 67,000 miles per hour every second of the day that you live? Did you know that this earth is moving according to their estimation? There's times when we are traveling through the galaxy and universe at 1,350,000 miles per hour. Did you know that the Earth moves every 24 hours? The Earth travels through the universe 57 million plus miles. Every day. And split seconds, God has everything working marvelously. David said our own bodies marvelously made. You know what? I could take an ink pen. I don't even have an ink pen up here. You could take an ink pen. On top of this pencil is enough atoms that if you lined an army four deep, side by side, it would take 20 years, each of them carrying one atom, to carry enough atoms that's on top of this one pencil. David said, my body, your body is made up of thousands and millions of cells. Those cells does remarkable things. And yet people looks and God says, look at the universe, look at the stars, look at the heavens, look at your body, look around, I made it all. And yet people looks around and says, there's no God. It just happens to be. The Pharisee said, we don't believe what the Bible says about the Messiah. We want to see signs. And he was showing all kinds of signs, but they said, not good enough. We got to see some of those like the Old Testament prophets. And he said, no sign will be given you. Look on in verse 14. Then he loads up in the ship and goes to the other side. Now he comes home to us, his disciples. He says, now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they in the ship with them more than what? They forgot those seven baskets of bread that was left over. And they went on the ship with him, and they had one loaf. Verse 15. And he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. Now some people say, well, what is he talking about? The leaven of the Pharisees. Keep your Bibles, your finger there, and turn, if you would, to Luke chapter 12. It talks about the leaven of the Pharisees, and what it's talking about always when it talks about that is their sin. Their sin of unbelief, their evil influence that they had. You see, leaven is like was something that was put in the bread. And when it put in the bread, and it'd block yeast and so forth, it would affect the bread. And you put a little bit of leaven in there, and it would affect the whole loaf. But look, if you would, in chapter 12, verse number 1. He says, in the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of what? The leaven of the Pharisees, which is what? See, they claim to love God. They claim to serve God. They claim to be the servants of God. He said, you beware of them. Now, stay with me a minute. Look, if you would, in Matthew chapter 23, what Jesus said concerning the leaven of the Pharisees. In Matthew 23, look, if you would, in verse 15. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, and what? Hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, ye make him twofold more than the child of hell than yourselves. In other words, he said, what you do is, what you're offering, and you better beware. Now, the Pharisees was the conservative religious. And they were very dominant during that time. They were very sticklers to law, legalistic is the word I was trying to think of. They're very legalistic. But they were legalistic about their traditions. And they wanted everybody to do just the way they saw it and did it. And they wanted everybody to exalt them in their eyes. And the reason why they hated Jesus so bad, they ignored all the signs that they had, and they hated him so bad, is because he did not bow down to their traditions and to their wishes, and he did not honor them. You know why? Because they were a bunch of hypocrites. Now listen to me. There's a lot of legalistic people in churches that are leading people astray, and they get this group, and they make this group feel special because they want them to do as I do, don't do as I do, and they make a list of do's and don'ts, and anybody that doesn't fit in that group can't be part of God's family. They get legalistic. Then, of course, you have, he talked about the Herodians, or Herod, the leaven of Herod. Now, that was the Sadducees because they were the liberal bunch. Look, if you would, in Matthew chapter 16. In Matthew chapter 16, notice if you would, let me get over there real quickly, in verse number 6. I'm going to bring a point out of this. You'll stay with me a minute. Notice it, then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. The leaven of the Sadducees was this. They were liberal and they would compromise with Herod and the world and worldly things and so forth. And so he said, you got to watch after their leaven too. And by the way, there's a lot of liberal churches that will lead you astray and damn your soul as well. That's what the Sadducees were. They didn't believe in angels. They didn't believe in life after. And they were a bunch of liberal group. And so therefore, what you've got is you've got conservatives and you got liberals, but Jesus said both of them had leaven, and if you got involved with them, they would damn your soul and make you even worse than they were. And so now notice this, he's telling his disciples. They get on the ship with him, and they forgot the bread except for one loaf. And then he charged them that they would not beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of Herod. Look in verse 16. And they reason among themselves, saying what? It is because we have what? They said, what's he talking about? Listen. Sometimes God is showing us something and telling us something that goes right over our head. We don't see it. Now, here was his disciples, and they should have got what he was wanting them to understand. But you know what they were thinking? They were thinking, leaven, bread. He's mad because we only brought one loaf of bread, and now we're going to be hungry. And so here they reason among themselves, it's because we have no bread. Look in verse 17. And when Jesus knew it, by the way, he knows everything everybody thinks. And when Jesus knew it, he saith unto them, why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not, neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, see ye not? Having ears, hear ye not? And do ye not remember? When I break the five loaves among 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And they said unto him, what? And when the seven among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And they said, what? And he said unto them, how is it that ye do not understand? Now listen to me. There's a lot of people in the day and time, just like the Pharisees and Sadducees, leading a lot of people astray. They're teaching doctrines that will not get people to heaven. Just like they were hypocrites in what they were teaching, the Pharisees were teaching, what the Sadducees were teaching was hypocrisy. They claimed to be all this with God, and yet not only were they going to die to hell, they was going to drag other people going to hell with them, believing what they believed. Therefore, you better know what you believe. And so Jesus told his disciples, he said, he just got through, and they just got through trying to convince him to give them signs. And what he was telling them is this: don't build your life on signs. God, the Bible says there's one thing that pleases God. What is that? Yet without what? Faith, it is impossible to please God. You know what God wants you to do? Learn to have faith. God is not going to give you signs every time that you run into something and say, God, give me a sign. He gave you his book. If they had looked in the Word, the Pharisees and Sadducees could have found all the signs they wanted that Jesus was the Messiah. They could have been confident of that. And what Jesus was getting across to his disciples was this: don't be like the Pharisees and Sadducees and look for signs and look for something beyond the Word of God. Take the Word of God, what it is. He said, now, you're set here, and you got on the ship, and you're worried because you only had one loaf? Really? Don't you think I can take care of you? I mean, I can walk out on the ship and say, wind, be still. And it obeys me? I can tell you, go get a tax. You won't pay Caesar his tax. Go put your net in the water and pull up a fish and open his mouth and you're going to get the tax money. Go into the city and you're going to find a colt that's never been ridden. It's going to be tied up waiting on you when you get there. You think he can't provide for you? You think he can't take you through every aspect of your life? He said, preacher, I'm going through something I've never went through before. You're going to have those times. But it's the same faith that you had every other single day of your life that you've got to exercise in God as well. And what he's trying to get the disciples to understand is this: you never have to worry about nothing. I can take care of whatever comes your way. Don't get caught up like the Pharisees and Sadducees and the leaven of them and think that you've got to see something special. Trust what you've told, what the Word of God says, and believe what the Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You know what you got to do? Just take God His Word. I know one of Ricky's favorite chapters, and mine too, is in Matthew chapter 6. And there he tells us, if we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, everything that we need in life, need, will be provided for us. And I'll be honest with you, I can tell you without exception, there's times when I didn't know where it was going to come, I didn't know how it was going to come, but when I need something, God always finds a way to bring it to me. You know why? He can't lie. And folks, listen. What He wants us as His disciples to get is this. Trust Him and just rely upon Him. And whatever we face, He'll take care of it. He said, I didn't even need a loaf. I don't need nothing. If I want to feed you, I fed millions of people by just sending bread down from heaven. I don't need a loaf of bread. I don't need a fish. And He don't need nothing to meet your needs either. He can meet it. What you have to do is this. Learn to have faith in God. Understand? Sometimes, I'll share this with you, an illustration, I'll close. Sometimes, it's right before us, and we're looking for all these signs. And I remember reading about a tractor and trailer that went under the bridge and got stuck. Used to be a guy made a joke out of it. Here's your sign. And he talks about that tractor and trailer getting stuck. And you know what? They brought all these people out there, and they tried to figure out every way in the world. They brought all these rescue and all this up to try to get that tractor and trailer, because traffic got backed up, and they could not get it loose. It was jammed in that under that bridge. And finally, some little boy come along, and he said, Mr. Policeman, I can tell you what to do. He said, son, get out here. We got a traffic jam here. And he come back in. He said, I can tell you what. He said, what? He said, let the air out of the tires. And they had thousands and thousands of professionals there. And all they had to do was let air out of the tire and back it out and free up the traffic jam. And let me tell you something. Sometimes we're looking for all these signs. And we're looking right beyond how God has blessed us and been there and provided all through our life. Understand thou? His disciples, he said, do you not understand this? And so, from here till we leave, He never leaves us nor forsakes us. Amen. Stand. Give song, Brother Rick.